You're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5 FM, and welcome to Radioactivity. This is Sean Canaan, and joining me is Lounge Laura Taylor. And we're going to.
Good morning.
Good morning, Laura. And we're going to ask for your support today during Radioactivity. And I have, it's great because we raised $1,650 during True Talk.
Thank you.
And so that's really exciting. And we also have some more people to thank from Democracy Now! We're going to get to that in just a second. But let me give out the number because we want to hear your support for Radioactivity and all of the great news and public affairs programs. If you like True Talk but you didn't get a chance to donate yet, now is the time. If you like Democracy Now! And didn't get to chance to donate yet, now is the time. 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org, or you can donate on the WMNF smartphone app. And Laura, we have some people to thank still from Democracy Now! This morning.
We do, and I would like to thank Hector, Paul, and Kathy Campbell from Seminole, making a very generous contribution, getting our brand new WMNF red t-shirt that shows how we are evolving. They say love particularly Democracy Now! And all the rest of public affairs. We are raising money for public affairs from now until one, so I'm sure we have a long way to go, Sean. I just raised into the station, so I know we had a great morning on the morning show. Let's show how much you love news and public affairs. Anonymous is doing so with a generous $20 contribution. Listens every day. Thank you. Let's hear from you. 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org.
Yeah, thank you so much for all those donations to Democracy Now! I'm going to thank a couple more people from Democracy Now! Earlier. So far this morning, we've raised $2,800.
Well, we got a long way to go, Sean.
And we do. We have to raise $9,000 total, so about another $6,000 in the next 2 hours. With your help, we'll get there. If you call 813-238-8001. I also want to thank a couple more people who donated to True Talk. Deborah Swain from Tampa is contributing $50, so thank you for that. Also, Elizabeth from Spring Hill is donating $10. And Elizabeth says, loves the diversity of WMNF. This show is an important part of that. I cannot say that enough. True Talk is so important. As you heard earlier, there are thousands of people who watch True Talk every week overseas through Facebook and thousands more through Twitter. And can you imagine that your donation right now will go to support programming made in the Tampa Bay area that people around the world appreciate? That's so important, and we can do it with your help, with your $100 contribution. Call us now, 813-238-8001. We've got a great show that we're going to play right now from Alternative Radio. In a second, I have a couple more people to thank, but I just want to tell you why you should keep tuned in, because Jason Stanley and Andy Z will be talking about resisting fascism this hour. This is a show that you will not want to miss, and you'll want to support with your donation at WMNF.org. Also, Tim from Bradenton, that is, called in a $35 contribution during Democracy Now!, so thank you for Tim. Also, Bruce Howes from Clearwater, $120 contribution, and is getting two WMNF face masks. I'm wearing one right now. Also says that Amy Goodman and her team provide an essential service to open our eyes and ears to issues that are not covered in a lot of other venues. A day doesn't go by that I'm not checking in on WMNF for great music and enlightenment. What a great sentiment right there. Tells you all the reasons why you should be supporting this show right now. If you like Radioactivity, the great news in interview show that Rob brings you every single weekday morning at 11, or if you like Democracy Now! Or True Talk or any of the news and public affairs, this is the last 2 hours that we will be raising funds on news and public affairs during this calendar year. We need you to call right now, 813-238-8001.
Your support also shows, and I can brag on my colleague here, the great work that Sean Canaan does here at the station between all the newscasts, Midpoint Mondays. You bring us so much to the station, and it costs a lot of technology to bring you important news and public affairs. We're not just ripping and reading the wires here. Sean is doing great community work. Our whole news and public affairs, Daniel, Rob, call and support this. 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org.
Well, we really look forward to thanking you on the air, whether you want to remain anonymous or whether we'd like you to thank your business or by your name and where you're from. However it is, we really want to thank you for your donation. So please call us now, 813-238-8001. But we are going to go to our programming right now. We have Jason Stanley, who is a professor of philosophy at Yale University and the author of How Fascism Works. Andy Z is a spokesperson for Revolution Books and the co-initiator of Refuse Fascism. And we are going to hear from them right now. And this is an alternative radio program. We'll be back to thank people in just a few minutes, but we would like your support right now. 813-238-8001 or pledge on the web at WMNF.org.
Is Trump a cause or is Trump a symptom? He's both. He's both a cause and a symptom. We'll never be able to address our longstanding problems as long as Trumpism is there. And as long as Trumpism is there, it's a reminder that these background conditions will always be there to enable a potential fascist leader.
That's Jason Stanley. And this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamian. This edition of AR features Jason Stanley and Andy Z on resisting fascism. As a political ideology, fascism developed in Mussolini's Italy more than a century ago. At its core, fascism conjures up a mythic past. There's a nostalgia for a so-called purer time. Its advocates deploy a raw appeal to nationalism. Opponents are demonized. Politicians spew racist dog whistles. Minorities are scapegoated. Fascists use fear, one of the most powerful human emotions, to manipulate people. It can cause people to abandon rational thinking. And there's always the implied threat and actual use of violence. The great radical historian Howard Zinn said, "You can't be neutral on a moving train." Is this a moment where you want to be neutral? The train is moving. You have a choice. Our guests today are Jason Stanley and Andy Z. Jason Stanley is professor of philosophy at Yale University and the author of How Fascism Works. Andy Z is spokesperson for Revolution Books and co-initiator of Refuse Fascism. In this virtual event recorded on September 30th, Andy Z was in Los Angeles and Jason Stanley in New Haven, Connecticut. We begin with Jason Stanley.
My book was published 2 years ago. At the time, people charged me with alarmism. I would like nothing more than to be wrong, than to have been wrong. However, I'm concerned that events have, if anything, vindicated the concerns that I was raising in my work. The reasons people gave for why I was being alarmist is they said things like, fascism requires an informal militia on the streets. It requires a relationship between the leader and militias on the streets. And we see no such development in the United States. We do not see white supremacist militias being organized to defend the fascist social and political movement. That's one case. We were presented with a reason for why the description fascism was overwrought. And I think that has been met. We saw in the debate Trump talking to the Proud Boys, telling them to stand down and stand by. There is clearly some kind of informal messaging going on between leader and militias. That's the concern here. Now, no one would like to be wrong more than me, let me add. So the second reason that people gave for why calls for fascism were overblown was that the president was not calling into question the democratic system. The president wasn't claiming that elections were rigged, the system was corrupt. The president was not saying that it's either me or the system is rigged. He wasn't directly attacking democracy. Well, I think we see that the president is directly attacking democracy. So again, I would like to be wrong. However, that is not the situation in which we find ourselves. Third, the reason that people gave to say that my concern about incipient fascism was alarmist was that the president was not taking control of the party and taking control of the institutions of government. The institutions were supposedly still independent, according to the critics of my work. Fascism is a cult of the leader. It's a cult of the leader who promises national restoration in the face of supposed threats by immigrants, minorities, and leftists. And people said, the Republican Party is not a cult of the leader. The Republican Party is not the same as Trumpism. We're not seeing the courts being taken over, the institutions being taken over by a cult of the leader, by devotion to the leader. There, too, my concern is that we have seen significant progress on that particular front. Now, I want to give you some conceptual tools with which to think through the topic of fascism. One thing people say is that how can it be fascism if you, Jason Stanley, are not already in prison? Well, it's true that if this was a pure fascist regime, I would be in prison. And so we do not have a pure fascist regime. In fact, I would go as far as to say we live in a democracy whose institutions are threatened, whose voting system is deeply compromised historically and in the present. But it is still, by and large, a place where you can speak your mind, although that is slowly changing for academics. But it is still the case you can speak your mind. You have a free press. Let's distinguish between a fascist regime, a fascist social and political movement, and fascist tactics. My 2018 book, How Fascism Works, The Politics of Us and Them, was actually about fascist tactics. What I was arguing was that there are fascists all across the world. My book is not about the United States. It's about a worldwide movement that you see in Brazil, in India, in Israel. You see in a number of different countries, in Hungary, in Poland, in Russia. You see in many countries, fascist tactics being employed. Indeed, you see them being employed in liberal democracies that treat migrants with horror and placing them in horrific situations to try to encourage them to self-deport. This is a fascist tactic, but it's a fascist tactic we can see being employed in liberal democracies. So we can talk about fascist social and political tactics. And my book goes through 10 fascist social and political tactics, all of which I think we see employed here. For example, chapter 9 is called Sodom and Gomorrah. You represent the cities as dens of iniquity, is filled with foreigners and immigrants and leftists and crime and burning. And you run against the cities to draw a kind of anti-urban, anti-minority, anti-elite vote. We certainly see that tactic being employed in this election. So we can talk about fascist and social and political tactics, but we can also talk about a fascist social and political movement. And a fascist social and political movement can occur in a liberal democracy. Indeed, National Socialism was a fascist social and political movement occurring in a liberal democracy. One question you need to ask yourself is Trumpism a fascist social and political movement? What would that mean? Well, is it a cult of the leader? Does Trump have a bond between himself and his supporters that is unbreakable, that is one that his supporters trust him over anything? Fascism only recognizes patriarchal authority. It only recognizes the authority of the leader. The leader does not, therefore, views all other kinds of authority, like scientific authority, as a threat to their leadership. So you have to ask yourself, is that what we're seeing now? Is the movement of Trumpism bound together by a conspiracy theory like the Protocols of the Elders of Zion? So you have to ask yourself that. Are they saying that there are elites that are seeking to bring communism to the country and are using immigration laws to try to flood the country with immigrants and destroy its character and bring homosexuality and depravity in to weaken traditional Christian faith, a la traditional, and that was like the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. Do we see such a conspiracy theory here? I would argue yes. We see Trumpism working in tandem with this sort of conspiracy theory. So you can have a fascist social and political movement in a country that is still a liberal democracy. It's going to take a lot for the United States to lose all vestiges of liberal democracy. If you look at Brazil right now with Jair Bolsonaro, Bolsonaro is pleading with the Brazilian military to place him as a military dictator. And the military is saying, no thanks. So you can have a fascist social and political movement in a country whose institutions are still resistant. And one might be concerned that Trumpism fits the bill. So when people talk about fascism, that doesn't mean that you live in a country with a fascist regime. It means that you need to worry about a fascist social and political movement that employs fascist tactics. And when you have a fascist social and political movement, you need to look to the country's institutions. Do you have a quasi-military institution tied up with colonial wars, imperialist wars, that is devoted to distinguishing citizen from non-citizen and can be used to directed internally against political opponents? If you have such an institution, and arguably ICE fits the bill of such an institution, then you need to be concerned about fascist creep. That's not to say you live in a fascist under a fascist regime. It's to say you can intervene now with protests, with nonviolent protests, with organizing the vote, with bringing people to the polls, with creating alliances between different groups, between conservatives, progressives, to restore democratic norms. When you say, oh, I'm worried about fascism, and people say, oh, you know, you'd be in prison if this was fascism, you have to say back to them, I'm not worried about this being a fascist regime. I'm worried about there being a Trumpism, for example, being a fascist social and political movement. Why would we need to be worried about fascism in the United States? I want to make two more points. First, people say, when you talk about fascism and you say Trump is a fascist, Trumpism is a fascist social and political movement. People say, well, Trump isn't at all like, he isn't German or Italian, he's very American. Well, that's a conceptual error about fascism. All fascism must be local. Fascism is palingenic ultranationalism. It's a leader who says, I am the country, and I promise to restore the country's greatness. That leader must be the most archetypical member of that country. The fact that Trump, you couldn't be more American than President Trump, is not an argument that he isn't a possible fascist leader. It's an argument that he is a possible fascist leader. Relatedly, I want to underscore the Eurocentrism of the debate of people who say, oh, it couldn't possibly be fascism because this isn't Germany or Italy. That's an extremely Eurocentric take. I do not think that Trump is much like Hitler at all. I don't think he threatens a genocide of minority groups, although the treatment of immigrants is a human rights violation of the first level, and we have normalized that in this country. But I think that the United States has been engaged in human rights violations against its black population for basically its entire existence. So Trump is not adding anything new. I don't think we need to turn to Europe, to mid-century Europe, to look for parallels here. I think we have plenty of parallels in the Americas, in Latin America. We have Latin American fascist movements. We have military dictatorships. We have autocracies. We have authoritarian regimes. We have Pinochet. If you look at, on the West Coast, in the right-wing rallies, at the T-shirts people are wearing, valorize the execution of political opponents under Latin American dictators. We need to look to that model, not to mid-century Europe. We need to look in the history of the United States to the white supremacist groups that Trump winks to in his comments. We need to look at Ku Klux Klan ideology, which strongly overlaps with National Socialist ideology, which says that there's a cabal, a globalist cabal, that's bringing immigrants in to destroy the white race. You know, that communists are using labor unions to advance communism, that social justice is a mask to destroy Christianity. So we need to look for parallels in the Americas, and we need to look for parallels in the history of the United States itself. When people say, oh, but Trump is very American, that is an argument that he's a potential leader of a fascist social and political movement, not an argument against. And we don't need to make these analogies to Europe. And with that, I will hand the microphone over to Andy.
Okay, well, thank you, Jason. I'm going to make two overarching points that I hope people get out of our entire discussion. There'll be differences. There are differences between us on this, but it's differences within a framework. But my two points are, first, that we are in the midst of a rolling coup of the Trump-Pence regime. Second, now is the time that we have to act to prevent them from carrying this all the way through. We are facing a fascist regime that has truly made horrific and momentous progress in bringing about and advancing a fascist America. This is a regime that is tearing up the rule of law. And at the heart of fascism is that. All the 10 characteristics in your book and more, all of this is part of fascism. But ultimately, to enforce the kind of world that that Jason was just talking about, in terms of the white supremacy, the patriarchy, the xenophobia, which means the hatred of foreigners, all of this can only be instituted with ultimately a change in the form of rule, where that rule is the rule of the leader. It is the rule of the fascist party, which is being forged through this Republican Party. But look, this is a regime that demonizes immigrants, black people, LGBTQ people, women, Native Americans, the media, and peaceful protesters. This is a regime that opposes science, as you brought out. This is leading to a country right now that is literally burning and drowning at the same time into unbelievable unnecessary death from COVID. And at the core of this regime is an unholy alliance between Trump and a Christian fascist movement that has been developing in this country for decades. And they are organized. They are organized up into the military. They have been organized up into the military. They're organized into police forces. They're organized into communities. And this is the core of this regime. This is the organization that people used to challenge you with, Jason, and say, well, where's the organization? Well, there's an organization there that nobody would have ever believed that Trump would come to head a Christian fascist movement. But that is actually what happened, and that is the Faustian bargain that they both made, and some of this is brought to bear in Michael Cohen's new book, Chapter 6. Trump also unleashes, and you brought this out, in the basest white supremacist, racist heart of America in a way that we've seen before in this country. We can't forget that. What used to be dog whistles are now for real. My second point is, yes, they have not yet fully consolidated fascist rule. That is true for now, but that should give us no comfort.
Well, that's
my second point. Now, you can say that.
That's Andy Z. We're going to hear more from him in just a second. And he's a spokesperson for Revolution Books. He's the co-initiator of Refuse Fascism. Earlier, we heard from Jason Stanley, who is professor of philosophy at Yale University. He's the author of How Fascism Works. We're hearing a pair of speeches on alternative radio. We're playing it today during Radioactivity, and you are listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm filling in for Rob today on Radioactivity, and joining me in the studio is Laura Taylor. Thanks so much for joining us,
Good
Laura.
Good morning, and I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so happy to ask for your support. Listening to speeches like that are more important now than ever. And Robert Blunt thinks so too, making a nice contribution from Spring Hill. You can call 813-238-8001 and WMNF.org. He says, I hope people understand the importance of stations like WMNF. Every contribution counts.
And we are looking for contributions from listeners right now. We have a $9,000 goal to raise between now and 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We've already raised close to $3,000. That means we need about 60 more people to call in during the next hour and a half or so. And we will get back to the Resisting Fascism program in just a second. We'll hear from Jason Stanley again and Andy Z again. But I do want to thank some people. Paul and Gail Carroll are donating $50. So thank you for supporting. Oh, this is for earmarked for Janelle's show. Sorry, I didn't
let you. We can thank him again.
Janelle read that later, but she'll be in, just so you know, in 30 minutes, Janelle will be in. Everyone's favorite show of the week, I'm sure. Also from Spring Hill, we have Liz in Spring Hill is saying, in solidarity, strong and brave female voice in our public affairs block is essential. Keep up the good work and I will support it. So thank you, Liz, for that support of Radioactivity and Janelle's Midpoint Show. Also, Michael Burns from Sarasota made an early donation of $150, says to support the news programs, especially Rob Lori's Radioactivity. Well, now is the last time to support Radioactivity this year, because this is our second to last fundraising day of the calendar year, and it's our last day of news and public affairs fundraising. So please call in right now, 813-238-8001. I'd like to thank Anonymous with an $88.50 contribution is getting a bumper sticker. Says, Rob Lori is the best commentator in Florida. I live in Venice and have to listen on the web. I make it a point to catch his Florida This Week without fail. Rock on. Thank you for that. Also, Lisa Silverman from Sarasota is donating $50. And thank you so much for all of those donations. So these are people who donated before the show even started. And now we want to thank you. Can you make a donation right now? 813-238-8001. We're bringing you this talk on resisting fascism. If you think that that's important, if you're not going to get this kind of programming anywhere else in the Tampa Bay area, we'd like to hear from you right now. And the good news, Laura, is that we have a challenge on the table right now. The good people at the Go Beyond Foundation have given us, or are planning to give us, $1,000 if we can raise 10 $100 contributions between now and 1 o'clock. So we hope that you can help us to meet that challenge with your $100 donation. Call now, 813-238-8001.
Or Sean, also, everyone listening right now, you can become a member of the Circle of Friends for $10 a month. That's a $120 contribution, and that would meet the Go Beyond challenge. Yes, I'm very, very familiar with the Go Beyond Foundation, and one of their main areas of focus for support is public media, because they believe so much in the First Amendment and free speech and news like this that you really just cannot get anywhere else. They're true believers. They support us, and they are hoping you'll in turn also give your support of $100 or more. 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org.
And your donation right now would essentially be doubled if you can make a $100 or more donation to Radioactivity to support the great news and public affairs programming, to support Rob Lori's show, to support Janelle's Midpoint Show or Democracy Now, or really any of the Midpoint shows or any of the other news and public affairs shows. If you like alternative radio, if you like Economic Update with Richard Wolf, if you like Democracy Now, now is the last 90 minutes of the year that we will be asking for your support during news and public affairs. We're going to go back now to hear more of this resisting fascism speech. We're going to hear more from Jason Stanley in just a bit, but right now we'll hear from Andy Z, who is a spokesperson for Revolution Books and the co-initiator of Refuse Fascism. The number to call in is 813-238-8001. You can also make a donation on our secure website at WMNF.org, or you can donate on the web on our smartphone app, which is the WMNF Community Radio smartphone app. We go back now to hear more from Andy Z about resisting fascism.
A regime means fully consolidated fascist rule. I'm saying there's a regime there that has not consolidated the rule over the country. Three, there is, as I said, a rolling coup that is barreling towards a showdown around the election. Trump is already stealing this election. He has a plan in place to use key institutions, the Supreme Court, violent thugs, in and out of uniform to keep his regime in power. That is why it is so urgent that people take up from many different points of view the call that Refuse Fascism has put out to form a broad-based movement where every single demand, every single aspiration for a decent life has to go through removing this regime from power. For if it succeeds in power, all your dreams and aspirations for a decent life, for Black Lives Matter, for immigrant rights, for the climate, for not even be subjected to nuclear war. We can't forget that this man says if we have nuclear weapons, why can't we use them? All of this is why it's so urgent. The Trump-Pence regime is undermining voting rights right now. And what he lied about in the debate around what happened in Philadelphia, nonetheless, that his people were thrown out, is they went there to intimidate voters. The Christian fundamentalists have already organized 10,000 people to be poll watchers. He and his fascist groups have said they're going to mobilize 50,000 former and in and out of uniform military and police to be poll watchers, which really means poll intimidators, and particularly against Black and Latino people. Third, this regime has repeatedly told us And they've shown us that they are preparing to stay in power by any and all means. That is the point at which Jason just warned of, that we're not at yet, but we could be. When Donald Trump was given the chance to say he would he respect the election, he would not do it. He said the election will be a fraud and illegitimate. He is now, and as I just said, and he's calling out, and he called out his poll watchers in the debate. These are anti-Semitic and fascist and racist thugs. And he said that he will win this because he has stacked the courts. That was the meaning of what he said. Chris Wallace asked him this directly. Another example. His attorney general, he has turned into his private lawyer and the lawyer of the regime. He has backed up this whole campaign to delegitimize the election with false claims. He's threatened people who protest on the eve of the election, or rather on the election night, with sedition. This is a very serious thing. Why should we not take him seriously? Is there anything that's been indicated that this is a fascist tactic that could actually lead to fascist rule should they actually do it? He's been defending Trump as the one ruler and not the rule of law. So look, I would say, just to make this point, bring this rolling coup point, there's every evidence that the Trump-Pence regime will not accept the election results if he loses. All this stuff that Trump does is not just some madman talking, but this is actually has a purpose. It demoralizes and it intimidates the opposition, including from going to the polls. Point four, the Biden campaign and the Democratic Party leadership have told us and shown us that they are not going to fight Trump the way he needs to be fought. They want to play by rules that the Trump-Pence regime wants to and needs to shatter to bring about this program. Oh, my fifth point. But it is really an emotional thing to think of what if this regime stays in power, what this is going to mean for the people of the world and the people of this country. You know, it's almost unbelievable to me that we could be sitting here at this point in October with tens of thousands of people in concentration camps on the border, COVID hotbeds with people being deported. Imagine a second term here. Imagine these people in power. Now, what I want to say about the genocide of the Nazi Germany in the Holocaust, that wasn't the plan that Hitler had, as you've spoken of yourself, Jason. The plan was to deport Jews, to get them out of Germany, and then eventually, as they expanded Germany, to get them on the other side, deep into Russia. But the exigencies of the war, the problems they ran into in the war, particularly against the then Soviet Union, led them at a certain point, fairly late in the game, 8 years into the game, before they took a decision to exterminate the Jews. Then one other thing I want to say about the reality of what a second term will mean for Trump, whether legitimate or illegitimately achieved, is exhibit one would be Modi in India, Erdogan in Turkey, Duterte in the Philippines, and exhibit two is what you began to see in Portland. Every aspiration people have for justice or for a decent world now has to go through removing this regime. If Trump doesn't win by a landslide on election day, they are preparing for everything I just said. They are preparing to take power by any and all means necessary. What does the history that we faced in the last 3 years tell us? That he doesn't do the things he says he's going to do? He's tried to do everything he said he would do, and he's succeeded at many of them. This is why we have to begin this fight right now. It is be too late to mobilize later on. But if we only rely on voting, it's going to be disastrous. Look, Biden was clearly saying to people, don't get out in the streets in major ways. I'm not saying that he won't say, stand guard outside or be outside a place where votes are being counted. But this is not a Sunday school exercise here. What Trump is preparing for is deadly serious. This is why what we're calling for is non-violent, sustained protest. All different views. I want to see never Trumpers. I want to see Democrats. I want to see Bernie people. I want to see anarchists out into the streets here and organizing this. So those are some points I wanted to make. I just want to open it up to you. If you want to help frame what we should get into, that would be great.
Yes. So there's an issue raised by your remarks about how we think of Trumpism with respect to what you referred to as the long history of U.S. fascism. Sarah Churchwell, Bradley Hart, these are authors, these are some of the authors who've documented, my colleague Jim Whitman, these are some of the authors who've documented the long history of fascist ideology and fascist thought in the United States. It overlaps and is connected with the Ku Klux Klan, white supremacy, and the ideologies we're seeing today. It's baked into our system, as Black Lives Matter makes clear, with the prison industrial complex, the carceral state. We have the highest incarceration rate in the world. Black Americans are among the most incarcerated people in human history. So all of that preceded Trump. Is Trump a cause or is Trump a symptom? He's both. He's both a cause and a symptom. We'll never be able to address our longstanding problems as long as Trumpism is there. And as long as Trumpism is there, it's a reminder that these background conditions will always be there to enable a potential fascist leader. As Charles Lindbergh, the spokesperson for the America First movement, was viewed by the National Socialists, a potential American fascist leader. So we need to get at these underlying problems. The situation goes deeper than just our history of racism. It goes back to capitalism itself. Because with capitalism unfettered is going to lead to fascism. Because capitalism unfettered will lead to an immiserated masses. These immiserated masses will need to be entertained by cultural war against, they'll need to be set against each other with racial politics while their wallets are being stolen, while the taxes are being cut for the wealthy oligarchs that run things. The immiserated masses will need to be kept in their place by a powerful police force. Police forces all across the country are being asked to play this role of adjudicating the social problems that come from class inequities. And I don't blame them. They're put in an impossible situation to try to deal with the fact that a large portion of humanity in cities, mostly Black and brown Americans, are immiserated and impoverished, while others are incredibly wealthy. So you're just going to see, as more material inequality develops, as more jobs get outsourced, get automatized, get sent to robots to do, to AI, you're going to see more and more people enter a world of hopelessness. And you're going to need a powerful police state to control them. And you're going to need a cultural politics that sets them against each other. So we're going to need to deal with those problems. A Biden-Harris administration will need to deal with these problems. But in the first instance, we must stop the result of those problems. And the result of those problems is Trumpism. Trumpism is as American as apple pie. It harkens back when Trump calls for patriotic education. What is he calling for? He's calling for the kind of education that Du Bois denounces in the final chapter of Black Reconstruction. The chapter is entitled The Propaganda of History. And Du Bois denounces the way that historical education was explicitly set up to try to unify the South and the North, the white South and the white North, to try to obscure and hide the crimes of Reconstruction, of the end of Reconstruction. Make no bones about it. When Trump talks about patriotic education, when he targets Nicole Hannah Jones and the 1619 Project, the 1619 Project, Nicole Hannah Jones says, the American ideals are great and Black Americans mainly realize them, which is inarguably true, that Black Americans had a central role in realizing American, or in helping to realize American ideals. But of course, she's a Black journalist, and she's calling attention to the history of Black Americans that is threatening to white Americans, that forces them to regard Black Americans as having an equal place or having a deeply respected place. Black Americans are the vanguard of anti-fascism in the United States. So Trump has been attacking education. He threatened to remove federal funding from school districts that use the 1619 Project. The 1619 Project is not some radical project. Nicole Hannah-Jones begins her essay talking about an American flag and how patriotic Black Americans are. It's incredibly patriotic. But what Trump is doing is he's returning us to this idea that Black Americans must know their place. And we must teach a history where Black Americans know their place. This is America's overlap with fascism. This is what I call in my book, the mythic past. So we have this long history. We have rampant capitalism. We have the failure to deal with the financial crisis that is on Obama and Biden's shoulders. We have mutual culpability here. But this should be a gut check moment where Republicans, Democrats, leftists like me, social conservatives, all of us who believe in democracy must bond together and say, no, we're not going to be threatening. What we want to return to is a diverse, multicultural, multi-valued American democracy, and not a white Christian fascism, which is frankly what threatens.
You're listening to Jason Stanley and Andy Z on Resisting Fascism. This is Independent Alternative Radio. Stay tuned at the end to learn how you can get copies of this program, as well as Jason Stanley's book, How Fascism Works. Our website is alternativeradio.org.
It is true that at the root of fascism is the capitalist system. I do agree with you that, and it's a system that cannot possibly meet the needs of all of humanity. It's not how it's set up. It's a system that is developed historically. It developed historically alongside of feudalism and slavery, and actually was able to incorporate both elements into it, particularly in this country, which is that is the unholy union that began the country. As people know, we don't have time here to rehearse it all in terms of the founding constitution, not only legitimating slavery, but not even allowing discussion of it for the first 20 years of the republic that so many people uphold. But fascism is one possible resolution of the contradictions that the people who rule this capitalist system face. And there is a very sharp divide at the top of society right now between those who want to basically continue the political order as it's been, maybe even expand it some. That was the content of the debate between Bernie and Biden people, if you will. How do we make it more inclusive, make capitalism work for the people? Versus, on the other hand, the people who are behind Donald Trump and who he's come to represent exactly because he doesn't give a damn about any of that, and he's willing to shatter the norms, who see that America needs to go back to those mythical values that you talk about, but actually the material reality of it was slavery. It was the tremendous exploitation and actually a demonization and oppression of immigrants that the country was actually founded on, and the oppression of women. All of this is built into the system, and really what you see developing here, and your book also points out this is developing around the world, is an apartheid state. An apartheid state is a fascist state, that because you have a minority. And this exactly this cultural battle you were just talking about, that he actually said it straight up there, that it's unfair, you know, multiculturalism. It's unfair because it's discriminating against white people. And we could take the next literally 3 hours walking through the statistics of the disparity between white and black people, white and Latino people, Latino and black people. We'd spend the whole day on it, and we wouldn't begin to touch what this means for people's lives, including COVID, that is disproportionately affecting Latino and black lives. You speak a lot about, and your book is about, and your work is about the influence of language and ideology on people, how people think. I'd actually like you to talk a little bit about how the overall public discourse has been changed. Certainly what used to be said in dog whistles are now said openly by the Trump regime. But also the more liberal progressive strata has come to tolerate a language and to accept things being said that would have been unacceptable. So I'm packing two questions together in terms of the seriousness of what we face in terms of the lives of the masses of people. And it makes me very angry when people say, oh, the institutions are going to hold, because when they don't hold, then people die in massive numbers.
So history doesn't ever exactly repeat itself, but it plays similar. And if we look at the consequences, the choices that will be made at the polls, and what they will be for human life, we have two enormous risks. The first is climate change. It's not too late, but we need to act very quickly. The world cannot afford another 4 years of climate change inaction. And make no mistake, this administration, Jair Bolsonaro's administration in Brazil, these are nihilistic ideologies that almost embrace a kind of self-destruction. And that too is fascist in its nature. I mean, Hitler's nihilism was enacted with the insane desire for world domination. Bolsonaro and Trump's nihilism seems to be enacted with the desire for world destruction with climate change. Bolsonaro seems to be destroying the Amazon for its own sake as this kind of nihilism. And similarly with Trump's environmental policies, seems to be poisoning the air, the water, the earth. We do not have time. These wildfires in the complete denial of science, the complete denial of reality. This mirrors the complete denial of reality that we saw with fascist leaders of the past, thinking they could conquer Russia, rule the world, enslave the world. That's what we're seeing now, this idea of this complete denial of reality. And if we look at the number of bodies that may result from this, the body count might be very similar as to fascist movements in the past. So that's where I see this danger coming, because people are right to say that the Obama administration brutalized immigrants, not to this level, not anywhere near to this level. This is unprecedented, what's happening under Trump. The prison industrial complex is a longstanding feature of the United States. But, you know, climate change is the most important issue humanity faces. And on that, we can talk about genocide. And there might be no comparison with the past in terms of the bodies, in terms of the destruction. So that's number one. Number two, about language. So language is completely changed. We've normalized it. It was key to understand American politics before Trumpism. It was key to understand the notion of plausible deniability. Somebody would talk, Paul Ryan would talk about makers versus takers, or inner city, the problems of the inner city, and people would say, that's racist. And they would say, no, it isn't. I'm just talking about the middle of cities, you know. But now what we've got is implausible deniability, blatant lying, which is a complete power move. So Trumpism, a fascist social and political movement, involves a relationship between the leader and the supporters where the leader can openly lie and it pleases the supporters. It pleases the supporters because this kind of politics is a politics of what the philosopher Susanna Siegel pointed out, of schadenfreude, a delight in the pain of one's enemies. Timothy Snyder called it sadopopulism. The desire is to see, Trump, their leader is getting away with it. Their leader is openly lying. Their leader is openly cheating. He's doing it for them. He's getting away with it. It just shows his power. And it's all about power. This kind of politics is all about power. What we need to do is we need to return the United States to a rule of law state. And then once it's a rule of law state, we can adjudicate our political differences. But right now, you've got a situation where Trump doesn't lose any supporters by blatantly lying. He blatantly said, the New York Times got hold of his tax returns. The tax returns showed $750. That he paid $750 in 2016, 2017. And he blatantly just said, no, that's wrong. I paid millions and millions of dollars.
Well, we found out that some of those millions and millions of dollars may have been paid in income taxes to China, not to the United States. Okay, I'm editorializing now. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. That was part of a speech from Jason Stanley and Andy Z on resisting fascism. And we're actually going to hear more of this speech after the top of the hour. So please stay tuned. Jason Stanley is a professor of philosophy at Yale University. He's the author of How Fascism Works. Andy Z is a spokesperson for Revolution Books and Canan, the co-initiator of Refuse Fascism. My name is Sean Canan, and it is 11:55 in the afternoon, and you're listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM, WMNF.org, and we are fundraising because the way that we can play great speeches like this over the airwaves in Tampa Bay, like no other radio station will do or television station in the Tampa Bay area will do, the way we do that is because we have great listeners who make financial donations to the station to keep us afloat. And we are looking for people like that right now. If you're out there and you like the fact that we're playing this, that you're happy that your neighbors could tune in their radios to hear this, give us a call right now and show your support. 813-238-8001. I want to thank a couple of people who have donated so far. We have an anonymous donation from Lakeland with a $25 gift and says, I appreciate all that you do. Also, Joe in St. Pete is joining the circle of friends at the wonderful amount of $50 a month. Thank you so much, Joe in St. Pete, for that donation. And now we'd like to hear from you. 813-238-8001. Right now, we have a challenge on the table. The Gobioff Foundation will give us $1,000 if we get 9 more people to donate $100 or more. Can you be one of those people to donate $100 or more and help us to get that additional $1,000? We have a $9,000 goal during this 4-hour block. We're part of the way there. We've raised close to $4,000, I think. We still need to raise $5,000 in the next 1 hour and 4 minutes. Can we do that with your help? 813-238-8001 or WMNF.org. I want to thank Ella's Americana Folk Art Cafe, located at 5119 North Nebraska Avenue in Tampa. They sent chicken and waffles and a few other items for the vegan and special dietary eaters for our volunteers. Thank you so much for feeding us today and for your continued support of community radio. Thanks, Ella's. 813-238-8001 is how you can show your support. Talk to one of those great volunteers. You can donate on the web as well at WMNF.org, or you can donate on the WMNF smartphone app. We do need your donations. And joining us in the studio is the host of Midpoint Friday, who will be joining us for the next hour, and it's Janelle Irwin. Welcome, Janelle.
Hi. It's good to be here. I'm a little early. What am I jumping the gun by about
3 minutes?
Yep.
Well, plus NPR.
Yeah, NPR. Yeah, of course. So usually this time of the day on WMNF, when we're not fundraising, Rob would be closing out his radio activity show in the 11 o'clock hour. And I am usually sitting right in the same chair, prepping for my show, kind of half an ear listening to what he's saying. And then the other half of my brain is focused on what I'm going to do next. And I got to tell you, it's always a tough act to follow, because Rob just has this way of calmly and concisely addressing whatever the issue of the day is. Of course, here lately, that's been a lot of the presidential election, but there's also been a lot of local issues that he's been addressing on his shows. And he really just covers the whole gambit. And I listen to these people call into his show, you know, in the little bit of time that there's a crossover when we're both in opposite studios, and people just eat it up. They respect that he respects them. They respect the voice that he lends to these conversations, the amazing guests that he brings in to add perspective. This is not something that you get anywhere else. This isn't something you get by sitting at home watching cable news. It's not something you get by listening to commercial radio. And it's not something you even necessarily get in your dinner table conversations with your family, because there are these expert perspectives brought to the conversation. That's what WMNF Community Radio brings to your airwaves. And we can't do it without your help. If you can donate now, whether it's $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever you can afford, maybe we have a local hero out there somewhere who can afford to drop $1,000 a month, that would really go a long way to getting us there. The number to call is 813-238-8001. You can also drop a tip in our tip jar online at WMNF.org.
Thanks, Janelle. Yes, we definitely are looking for people who support radio activity, support Democracy Now!, support Janelle's Midpoint show. Just let your phone answerer know what your favorite shows are, and we'll make sure that the hosts of those shows get those kudos. But we're really looking for support for the whole station right now. 813-238-8001. Rob will be back very soon. He's out today, but we want to hear from you to support his great interview show called Radioactivity. 813-238-8001. And we're going to go to, in 30 seconds, to the top of the hour newscast from NPR. And then 5 minutes later, Janelle will bring you Midpoint Friday with Janelle Irwin, everyone's favorite show of the week. And we will hear more of this speech from Resisting Fascism, these speeches from Jason Stanley and Andy Z. But we really need to hear from you at WMNF.org or 813-238-8001. We're looking for people who can donate $100 to WMNF Tampa.